You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 820 AM.
Good morning. I'm Cardinal Francis George. For the next hour, the Archdiocese of Chicago will be hosting discussions on issues, people, and associations that touch our lives. Welcome to the Catholic Community of Faith.
Good morning. Welcome to Catholic Community of Faith and our special edition today of Catholic Schools Today. I'm Father Greg Sackowitz, pastor of St. Mary of the Woods on the Northwest Side, and co-host this morning on our edition of Catholic Schools Today, Dr. Nicholas Wolsonovich, superintendent of Catholic Schools for the Archdiocese of Chicago. Good morning, Nick.
Good morning, Father Greg. How are you today?
Good, thanks. How was your weekend?
Great, just great, yes. We've
moved from frigid cold now to getting the shovels out for snow and more snow on the way. But it's winter in Chicago.
Well, at least we're in Chicago, not Buffalo.
Or what is it called? Oswego?
Oswego.
110 inches of snow. Where do you begin with that? We have a tremendous program lined up today for Catholic Schools Today on Relevant Radio, 820 AM in Chicago. Time is 9:01. We are taking phone calls at 312-751-1979. Again, 312-751-1979. And our first segment deals with Notre Dame High School for Boys in Niles. Now, this high school is very close to my heart. I am an alum, class of 1971. I am a Don from Notre Dame. Tremendous high school. And we have members of the school's new executive board and Association of Christian Faithful joining us live here in the studio, Paula Waters and Christopher Nowotarski. Paula and Chris, welcome to Catholic Schools Today.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Father.
And great to have both of you. Now, I think maybe some of our listeners are unaware of what took place last summer at Notre Dame. So a lot has happened in the last year. So, Chris, maybe fill people in who are unaware saying, okay, what happened in Notre Dame last summer?
Well, actually, I think, Paula, you should start out.
Oh, ladies second. First. Get it right closer. Paula, move it,
start
move it in, Paula.
The story. In June last year, the priests of the Holy Cross, the Indiana province, decided to end their 51-year sponsorship of Notre Dame High School. And we were unsure whether we would have a school year starting last year or beginning again. And a group of us who were parents and other people associated with the school went to the Archdiocese and asked their help to continue the mission of Notre Dame High School. At that time, we began negotiations both with the priests of the Holy Cross in order to transfer the school to lay leadership and with the Archdiocese to set in place the necessary civil and canon law structures to help that occur. And Chris, who's our secretary and an attorney, helped in that process.
So Chris, take it from there.
Well, it was a long and arduous task because this was something new that's never been done anywhere else in the nation or in the world as far as we know. The Cardinal, along with Dr. Nick and the Archdiocese staff, came along and we discussed how to go about doing this. And there is something that was formed or was put into the canon law at the Second Vatican Council called a public juridic person. And what that is a way for the lay people to get involved and promote the Christian faith and the Catholic religion. So the first step in the process was the cardinal had to form the Association of Christian Faithful, which was done, and I don't remember the exact date, but it was in November.
Of 06,
mm-hmm. That's correct. And that association is a canon law organization, and that's to give us legal status under the church and in the church doctrine. And that makes us gives us the ability to call the school a Catholic high school, which is very important to us.
Okay, so the thing is now, with the Holy Cross priest leaving Notre Dame High School, and Paul, you mentioned after 51 years, and there's no question that when I was a student in class of 71, in fact, Chris's class of 76, a fellow Don, that the presence of the priest made a huge difference. But with diocesan and with religious orders, the numbers are dwindling. There's no doubt about that, and people are a little bit unaware of that. Now, Dr. Nick, what role did you play in this whole process starting last summer?
Well, I learned a lot.
We all learned a lot.
One of the things I think that's very important to point out is that a Catholic school has to be, for it to be a Catholic school, has to be sponsored by a Catholic entity. And in the church, we call that a public juridic person. And so what Chris was talking about is that in canon law, there's that way of creating it. It's called the Association of Christian Faithful. And then once that is formed and the cardinal recognizes that as a public juridic person, then that public juridic person can sponsor an apostolate, and in this case, the ministry of a Catholic high school. I think that was all a very important learning for all of us, because up until then, we had different notions about how that was to go, and Cardinal George was very, very helpful in clarifying that, as he is so well aware of canon law. So that's what we first had to do in the respect to Notre Dame High School. So we were the ones who were going back and forth between the cardinal to bring this kind of information to the table so that we could work through it. And Bishop Kane was very, very helpful in this regard, too, so that we could understand what it meant to be a Catholic school and what had to be in place in order for it to be a Catholic school.
So really you're dealing with two components, civil law and canon law. Mm-hmm. Both had to be taken care of. We are taking phone calls here on Catholic schools today. Maybe you have a son at Notre Dame presently, or thinking about having a son attend, or maybe you're an alum. 312-751-1979, 312-751-1979, but make it real clear, Notre Dame is alive and well, and the doors are open, will remain open, and maybe Paula just share with us, how are things going right now at the high school?
It's not only alive and well, but it's also thriving. This year we had our test date in January, as do all the Catholic schools, and once again, our numbers are up. We expect a larger enrollment even than last year, and we're going to be going forward very aggressively to recruit students from our area and from some of the surrounding suburbs and into the city. We have bus routes going into the city now. And we expect to have a much brighter future because of what's happened. I think the whole change transition has rallied alums and others, parents. Certainly the local pastors, including you, Father Greg, have rallied around us and are supporting us. And so it gives us a great deal of encouragement about the future of Notre Dame.
Well, a couple of things. First of all, I want to compliment both Paula and Chris and so many of others, Joe Gerdak and others in that group, who really took the charge of this and made this happen. They certainly deserve our thanks and also the thanks of all those wonderful parents. I think another issue that we need to just highlight here is I know the parents were concerned about keeping that school Catholic, the Catholicity of the school. Maybe Paula and Chris could talk a little bit about what has been done to ensure that Catholicity going forward.
That's a great question.
Well, again, as we were talking about that Association of Christian Faithful, one of the key components or requirements of the association is to ensure the Catholicity of the school. The board is very much committed to that. We are in the process of searching for a president right now, and hopefully we'll be coming out with an announcement shortly. But we're looking.
And now that president will be a priest.
Well, right now the only people that have applied are priests and one deacon. But it looks like the eligible candidates are only religious people.
Mm-hmm. We're going to take a break here on Catholic Schools Today. I'm Father Greg Zakowicz, along with Dr. Nicholas Walsenovich, and our guests are Paula Waters and Christopher Nowotarski. Stay with us. Relevant Radio, 820 a.m. in Chicago. Time is 9:08, and do not touch that dial.
Choosing an elementary school for your child is one of the biggest decisions you will ever make to shape your child's future. So why pick a Catholic school?
I want my kids to learn more than the three R's. They need a faith-based education so they make good decisions.
I want my son and daughter to go to college. At Catholic schools, attendance and graduation rates are nearly 100%. And when these kids graduate, they go to college.
My teacher is so cool. She knows who I am. She helps me when I have trouble figuring things out.
My kid isn't a number. The student-teacher ratio is 19 to 1, and Catholic school teachers are really dedicated.
I want my daughter to feel welcome, to be safe. safe.
The test scores are well above the national average. Look out, college. Here they come.
Go to www.archchicago.org and click on Schools for more information. Choose a Catholic education. Make your child a winner for life.
Do you know what's going on in your church around the corner or around the world? Do you want to hear stories about your faith? Do you want to help shape Catholic thought? If you said yes, subscribe to the Catholic New World, the newspaper for the people of the Archdiocese of Chicago. Call 312-655-7777 or visit us at catholicnewworld.com. The Catholic New World, a world beyond your church, a church beyond your world.
And welcome back to Catholic Schools Today. I'm Father Greg Sackus, along with Dr. Nicholas Wilsonovich, who is Superintendent of Catholic Schools for the Archdiocese of Chicago, on this cold and snowy Monday morning with more snow on the way.
Yeah, I just think it'd be important to maybe explore a little bit more about this notion of the Association of Christian Faithful. I think that the canon law really showed a great deal of wisdom as they put this section into canon law. It was a very important point because basically what it was saying is that the laity, it's a way that the laity can become more involved in the governance of the church, not just schools, because you could have an association of Christian faithful that would run hospitals, for example. So I think that one of the best ways to understand the Association of Christian Faithful is like the religious orders, like the Society of the Jesuit, the Jesuits,
Holy Cross priests,
sure, all those. And in a sense, they're lay people, and this is like a mini religious order. So Chris and Paula are part of a religious order called the Association of the Christian Faithful. And I think that this is going to be, as I said, the wisdom of canon law. This is going to happen more and more because it's recognizing the baptism of the laity to become more involved in the way the church works. And so it's a mechanism for it to happen. And I do believe that looking down the future, especially when you get into Catholic schools, that when we take a look at how we're going to continue Catholic schools in the future, you know, as I have said so many times because of Genesis, the future of our schools is going to be getting into these boards of specified jurisdiction, boards being created of lay people who are going to take the ownership of the schools really seriously and try to make sure that they happen and are financially viable. Our schools are wonderful in terms of their Catholicity and their academic, success. But what we need is to make them stronger, and these boards are going to do this. And this Association of Christian Faithful is a way to make sure that that happens. So it's going to be a model for other schools, and I'm already working with a couple of schools, in addition to Notre Dame, and we're using them as a model, Notre Dame, to take a look at what can be done in their situations and perhaps go in this direction.
And Nick, what's happening at Notre Dame High School is not only a first in the Archdiocese of Chicago, but in the United States?
Well, it seems that way. I haven't done all the research, but I do know that it's not very prevalent if it's there at all. So I plan on asking the question as I go around to some of these conventions of ours to see if it's evident anywhere else.
And I think what's very interesting is that for many people, they always have turned to priests and sisters, the religious, for the work of the church. And since Vatican II, it's been very clear the way parish structures are, the emergence of the laity, directors of religious education, pastoral associates, men and women. And I think, Nick, you hit it right on the head. By our baptism, we are called to serve. And you look at the giftedness of Paula and Chris. The both of you have gifts that Dr. Nick and I don't have. And we have gifts that you don't have, but somehow by our baptism, called to serve. And again, as Nick had mentioned, you know, Paula and Chris and the entire team have done a marvelous job. Tell us just for a moment what happened last Tuesday morning with a festive celebration at Notre Dame High School.
Last Tuesday morning, there was a mass that celebrated the transition, and we were formally installed as members of the Association of Christian Faithful by Bishop Francis Kane, who's the bishop in our vicariate and who has been incredibly helpful to us throughout this entire process. This was witnessed by the boys at the school and their parents. There were probably 850 people there at the time. And it was a wonderful transition, not only for the Holy Cross priests who were there to be able to turn over this ministry to, as Dr. Nick says, a religious order of sorts, but also for us to take vows that accept our responsibility as members of this association.
I was there present for the liturgy. It was a tremendous celebration. You know, just walking into the school brought back great memories. And seeing the guys walk the corridors, the halls that I walked, and the gymnasium where I hit a lot of jump shots and missed a lot of layups and clanking off the rim. But just seeing the guys, and there was a wonderful spirit among the student body. And I looked at the new board where you were commissioned and, you know, each individual named. I thought, this is a tremendous time in the history of Notre Dame. That you're talking, right, you're right, alive and thriving and into the future. And how many people are on the board, Chris?
Well, on the Association of Christian Faithful, there's actually 10 members right now. And the Cardinal has authorized us to get up to 30, and at some point we will get to that number.
So it's 10 now, but it can go up to 30.
Yeah.
Wow.
And I also want to jump in here and say, not only are we concerned with canon law, because we live in a society that is outside of the church. And that society, we have civil laws that we have to follow. And there was a second organization that we had to form. It's called Notre Dame College Prep, which ended up being the actual civil entity that owns the school. And the funny thing is, even though the priests of the Holy Cross own or were in charge of the school, they also, at the time when they formed the school, had to form a civil corporation. So we are actually following in the same footsteps as the priests of the Holy Cross did 51 years ago.
Now, is that another board then?
Yes, it is.
How many on that board?
That board has 7 members. That's the executive committee of Notre Dame College Prep.
So then you're dealing with a civil board and a canon law board.
Correct.
Yes, and it's that board, the second board, that's actually running the school. Just like St. Ignatius has their own board of the Jesuits nationwide, but then they appoint a board to run St. Ignatius High School.
Okay, it does sound like almost who's on first after a while in terms
yeah,
of it.
It does, but
with the initial outset, but once you start getting an understanding, it's very clear-cut, but initially it can be overwhelming. Mm-hmm. But I do know this, the amount of work that has gone into mm-hmm. this in the last year is beyond incredible.
Yeah, we talk a lot about stewardship, and so many times we talk about stewardship in terms of money, but here we're talking about stewardship in terms of time and talent. And these two here are wonderful examples of what we need in the future, of lay people giving their time and talent to the success and support of Catholic schools and other ministries of the church.
It's a tremendous witness. In the last minute, either Chris or Paula, Notre Dame is in the process of looking into the future. There's a capital campaign. What is happening?
When we got word that the Holy Cross priests would be withdrawing, we were just beginning a capital campaign. We'd finished a strategic planning process that had identified many needs going forward that were going to make Notre Dame great. And we are picking that up again. We're going to be starting our capital campaign. We're planning a building program. We're going to strengthen our academics. And we are going to take this opportunity to make Notre Dame even better than it's been for the last 51 years.
And, you know, and we're building on the success and the foundation laid by the CSC in the last few years. Father, when you and I were at that school, we had over 1,500 students there. Tuition has grown, the enrollment has decreased, but we've bottomed out, and now we've seen an increase, and that's what we're building on right now.
In fact, if I'm not mistaken, the last 6 or 7 years, Notre Dame High School enrollment has gone up each of those years.
That's correct.
Every in the last 6 or 7, so it's really been on a real, you know, upswing. Nick?
Well, that's wonderful, because that's really different than the experience we've seen in so many other high schools around the country. And so this is a very positive thing, and it's going to, I think, continue in that direction because of the tremendous support. I think when people see that there's this kind of support for the school, I think parents are going to feel very comfortable in saying, we want to send our kids to that Catholic school.
Paula, jump right in.
You know, there's been a great deal in the media about how education is failing young men and how the young men in the United States are going to have a challenge to have a productive future. And I can say that at Notre Dame, that's not happening. We accept students of all abilities, and after spending 4 years with us, 98% go on to college.
And now that's a great comment. After 4 years, 98% of the graduates Notre Dame High School for Boys go on to college. We're going to have to close this segment. We'd like to thank in a very special way Paula Waters and Christopher Nowotarski, who are part of the members of the school's new Executive Board and Association of Christian Faithful at Notre Dame High School for Boys. Stay with us here on Catholic Schools Today. Time is 9:19, and we'll be back in a moment, and do not touch that dial.
Here's an invitation for men in the Archdiocese of Chicago to attend ministry weekends at Mundelein Seminary, retreats designed to help men discern God's call to the priesthood. I'm Father Joe Noonan, the Vocation Director for the Archdiocese of Chicago. Ministry weekends feature presentations about diocesan priesthood, prayer, and discussion, all aimed at reaching a better understanding of God's movement in your life. For more information about these free retreats, call me, Father Joe Noonan, at 847-970-4845, or visit our website, www.chicagopriest.org. I look forward to meeting you at our next ministry weekend, Friday, April 20th through Sunday, April 22nd.
Hi, I'm Chuck Knapp. Join me for Searching the Word, a live interactive program that equips you with a firm understanding of the faith. Each day, we'll search the Bible, the Catechism, papal teaching, and historical writings for answers to questions about living Catholic life. That's Searching the Word every weekday on Relevant Radio.
That's Searching the Word with Chuck Neff, weekdays at noon on Chicagoland's Relevant Radio, 820 AM.
And welcome back to Catholic Schools Today. I'm Father Greg Sackwitz, along with Dr. Nicholas Wolsonovich, Superintendent of Catholic Schools for the Archdiocese of Chicago. And our phone number is 312-751-1979, 312-751-1979 on this cold winter Monday morning. And continuing our program, we celebrate in February African American Heritage Month. And joining us live here in the studio, from St. John de La Salle Academy of the Fine Arts, the principal, Charles Carroll. Good morning, Charles. Welcome to Catholic Schools Today.
Good morning, Father.
And did you get your tea was all right?
Okay.
It was okay. Well, I did make it, so I'll take the blame for that. And also join us in the studio from St. Ethelreda, Chicago, Principal Denise Spells. Good morning, Denise.
Good morning, Father. How are you?
Good, thanks. How are you doing?
I'm doing great this cold morning.
Yes, it truly is. It's going to get colder and snowier. We're going to discuss for the next segment here on Catholic Schools Today the activities taking place both in their respective schools and around the Archdiocese of Chicago in February as part of African American Heritage Month. And Charles, what is happening at the high school?
Or the school, the Fine Arts Academy? An elementary school.
Elementary, yeah. Push you up a little bit.
All right. First of all, our Voices of Praise choir has kicked off African American History Month by traveling over to St. Joachim Parish, and our Voices of Praise celebrated their kickoff of African American History Month by providing the music for the 9 o'clock Mass. A little bit later this month, we're going to have the Taste of St. John, February 18th, which is this Sunday, by the way, and that will celebrate the diversity of many peoples in terms of cuisine. And this will take place after Family Mass, which will be a giant celebration of our cultural heritage, followed by this magnificent spread of food.
And now, Charles, what parish is this happening at this Sunday?
It's happening at our home parish, St. John de La Salle, at 102nd and Vernon Avenue.
And what time is the celebration of Mass to begin?
It starts at 9 a.m., and the food celebration will start thereafter around 10:45, and last until...
The food runs out.
Until the food runs out, which hopefully will be around
Tuesday.
3 to 4. Okay.
That is terrific.
In addition to that, we have a celebration of the spoken word by African American poets and writers, and that contest will be taking place this Friday morning and Friday afternoon. Primary children will deliver the spoken word in the AM, and the upper grades and the intermediate grades will deliver their spoken words in the afternoon.
So you've got a lot happening at St. John de La Salle Academy of the Fine Arts.
Right, and let me point out one more thing. Our Voices of Praise choir will be performing at the Thompson Center on February 20th at 11:30 a.m. in the main concourse at the invitation of State Treasurer Alexei Janulis.
That's tremendous. So and Denise Bells, principal of St. Ethelreda in Chicago. What is happening at your school, Denise?
During the month of February, we just celebrated our family mass yesterday, and the students and the third graders were our lecturers at mass. They did a fantastic job, and our choir celebrated as well. On February the 24th, we are in collaboration with students from children at St. Killian's Church. We're having a Black History Trivia Bowl, Know Your Heritage. That's going to take place after a prayer breakfast on February 24th.
And that's at St.
Killian's. St. Killian's.
Mm-hmm. Now, will St. Ethelreda be connected with that bowl?
Yes. Students from St. Ethelreda will participate in that bowl with children who belong to St. Killian's Church.
Is it just those two
just
grammar
those
school
two
children?
Schools. Yes.
So like a playoff bowl. Your own version of the Super Bowl.
Our own version of Know Your Heritage.
Know Your Heritage, okay.
Know Your Heritage. Super Bowl of African American History.
Yeah.
And on the 25th, we're having a program sponsored by the students of St. Ethelreda School, tracing our roots through music from Africa until the present.
That is true. And the thing is, then, as principal, you've been heavily involved in planning a lot of these activities.
Yes.
So you've been a very busy young lady.
Very busy.
And maybe on another level, either for Charles or for Denise, what is happening on an archdiocesan-wide level? Like, for example, what's taking place at Holy Name Cathedral?
We're kicking off the month on February 22nd with our annual African American Heritage Month Mass. February 22nd at Holy Name Cathedral, that's a Thursday, 9:30 in the morning. Our guest homilist will be Father Tony Ricard from New Orleans. He was here, I think, in 2003 and spoke, did a great job. We've invited him back.
I think we had Father Tony on this program a year or two ago, you know, via the phone hookup from his home parish or area. So he'll be here that evening.
He'll be here that morning.
At Holy Name, or that 9:30 in the morning.
9:30 in the morning.
At Holy Name Cathedral.
All schools have been invited to participate throughout the Archdiocese in this program.
How many do we normally get there? Close to 1,000?
Close to 1,000, a little over 1,000.
Standing room only.
Yeah. Yes.
Wow, because the cathedral holds about 1,200, so you're well beyond 1,000 people.
Yeah.
Yes.
Right.
And the thing is, so then are you both involved directly with that liturgy?
Denise and I both are on the same committee. She's the chairperson, and I'm one of the workers.
And certainly we encourage those schools that are not predominantly African-American to come, because there's a lot that, as we know, needs to be learned by all cultures about each other so that we can live in greater harmony with each other. And knowledge is so important of that.
And thing is that, and I think also to dispel a lot of myths, just out of curiosity, how many years have we in the Archdiocese of Chicago celebrated African-American Heritage Month? About roughly.
23.
Okay,
years. 23?
Well, here's your buzzer, okay?
Years.
I'm pretty impressed. That's pretty good, Denise. 23 years.
Yes.
In addition to that, the choir that will be performing will be composed of children from the various schools in the Archdiocese, and they've been in rehearsal since last Saturday for that. And they do this on their own time.
On their own time. We're going to do this. We're going to take a break here on Catholic Schools Today. I'm Father Greg Sackwitz along with Dr. Nicholas Wilsonovich, and our guests are Charles Carroll and Denise Spells. And stay with us after a break. Do not touch that dial on Relevant Radio, 820 AM here in Chicago.
you want to mobilize your parish to be more actively pro-life? Then join us on Saturday, March 3rd for a special day of education, inspiration, and fellowship sponsored by the Respect Life Office of the Archdiocese of Chicago. Featured speakers include Monsignor Philip Riley, founder of the Helpers of God's Precious Infants, and Frank Padilla, International Director of Couples for Christ. We'll also hear from Bob Gilligan, Executive Director of the Catholic Conference of Illinois, and have a question and answer session with our beloved Archbishop Cardinal George. The event is conveniently located at Gordon Tech High School at 3633 North California in Chicago, just off the Kennedy Expressway. For more information, call the Respect Life Office at 312-751-5355 or go to www.archchicago.org. Join us on Saturday, March 3rd, and stand up for the most vulnerable at Mission Evangelization, converting hearts to the gospel of life.
As winter sets in, Catholic Charities seeks help for the homeless. I'm Father Mike Boland, the administrator of Catholic Charities for the Archdiocese, and I invite you to join us in our efforts to clothe and feed the poor. Catholic Charities is in need of warm items in our clothing rooms. We are collecting coats, gloves, hats, blankets, and sleeping bags for the homeless. Donations can be dropped off at our emergency assistance office at 721 North LaSalle, or you can visit our website at www.catholiccharities.net. Help Catholic Charities provide a little warmth this winter.
You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 820 AM.
Every Monday through Friday from 9 to 10 a.m., the Archdiocese of Chicago presents programming about the people, the issues, and the faith that affect all our lives. Thanks for staying with us here on Relevant Radio, 820 a.m. Now again, the Catholic Community of Faith.
And welcome back to Catholic Community of Faith in this special edition on this Monday, Catholic Schools Today. I'm Father Greg Sackwitz along with Dr. Nicholas Wolsonovich, and the time in Chicago is coming up on 9:32 on this snowy Monday morning. Nick, before you ask Charles a question, and before I forget, anybody looking for any information regarding Catholic schools in the Archdiocese of Chicago, give us a phone number and a website.
Well, the phone number is area code 312-751-5210.
The number once again.
312-751-5210. And the website is archchicago.org.
And just click on schools.
Schools.
So archchicago, archchicago.org and click on schools.
Schools. And then we'll have all the information about all the schools. And so there's a wealth of information there.
Thank you.
But we also know that in order for these schools to do, you know, a lot of the things that they're doing, they need a tremendous amount of support. And I thought that it might be a good question to ask, Charles, if you could maybe state some of the extra support that you're getting in order to make these things happen.
Well, we're very excited about the fact that we've just become a patron school, and this occurred through our efforts with the Big Shoulders Fund.
Now, excuse me, Charles, what is a patron school?
A patron school is a school that receives a donation from an individual or a corporation, usually in the amount of $100,000 a year for the next 3 years. And this can be spent on programs that will impact children. And this also includes things that will impact them through upgrading certain capital expense areas.
So this is, now, are you in the first year of being a
patron
school?
We're just beginning. And
you have a big smile on your face.
Right. Because some of the things that we have dreamt about and some of the things that we've had in our vision, we're now able to focus on and bring into fruition. And John Moran from the Big Shoulders Fund and Don Drott, who is the person who is chairing our patrons board, have been instrumental in guiding me through the process. And I have provided them with a number of things that we want to spend this money on.
Now, along the very same lines, Denise Bells, who is principal at St. Ethelreda's school in Chicago. Talk to us for a moment about student recognition and pastor scholarships.
Student recognition is sponsored by the committee, the African American Heritage Month committee. We ask principals in both elementary and high schools to send us the names, two names of students in their school who exemplify the Kwanzaa principles. And in turn, we recognize those students in the program, which will be held on Friday, February 23rd. Also, pastor scholarship. Pastors are asked to donate funds, $50 or more, to the Black History Committee. In turn, we select students who are Catholic, plan to attend a Catholic high school, and if there's a financial need and the academics are, you know, where they should be, we select those students and provide them with perhaps $500 towards their freshman year tuition.
That's tremendous.
Yeah, I'd like to emphasize the need for scholarships for all of our schools, and certainly in the inner city. And what Charles said about the patron program there at his school is very important. Some of that money can be used for scholarships, and as Denise says, the priest's scholarship fund is very important. Anybody who would like to give significant funds, any kind of funds, to these schools or other schools to help in scholarship efforts, that is a very significant form of stewardship and one that is very greatly needed by our schools. We have a lot of kids out there who want to enjoy that holy gift of a Catholic school, and they need financial assistance to do that.
So. And, Nick, we've talked more than once on the radio program that the tuition keeps going up and up. We live in a different world. When I was in grammar school back in the early 1960s, I think people are aware of that. But, again, as you mentioned, talk about the gift of stewardship for a Catholic education. And that's why you pass on that legacy to the younger generation who will be the leaders in the very near future. In the last couple of minutes, either for Charles or for Denise, what is the mission?
Well, our mission is we know that we're educating tomorrow's leaders, and we hopefully are doing this in the Catholic tradition of faith, charity, and passing on the values. And in light of this, we hope that stewardship is part of the values, part of the faith, and part of the tradition that they develop in the school. Because as you know, and as you stated, tuition does not cover it all. We do need stewardship. We also need fundraising from within. And each school is involved in fundraising within, because tuition doesn't actually cover the actual cost of educating a child in the Catholic schools.
And now what about for you, Denise, when you talk about the mission, what is the perspective over at St. Ethelreda's?
To educate all children, regardless of their race, nationality, financial income. But the saddest thing is when you have to turn a family away or remove them from your school because of their inability to pay tuition. That hurts.
Now, that breaks your heart.
Yes, it does. However, it's in the real world, you have to pay.
Yeah.
I think an important thing to point out here is that people raise the question, why are we operating Catholic schools in the inner city where the kids are not predominantly Catholic? And I think the answer to that is that we're not there because of whether or not they are or not Catholic. We're there because we're Catholic, and we want to spread the word of God to everybody. And so we have a reason to be there. We have a mission to be there. We want to spread the word of God to everybody. So I think that's an important point to bring up.
That's stated very, very well. In the last minute, Charles, give us a phone number and a website at your school for people to contact if they have questions or to make a gift.
All right. The school telephone number is area code 773-785-2331.
That number once again.
773-785-2331.
And how about a website?
The website is ccarroll@stjdelasalle.com.
Do that one more time.
@stjdelasalle.com.
And how about for you, Denise, at St. Ethelreda? Phone number?
The school's phone number is 773-238-1757.
Once again.
773-238-1757.
And how about a website?
And our website is...
See Denise? No.
StEthelreda.org.
StEthelreda.org. Well, we're going to close this segment here. I want to thank in a very special way Charles Carroll, the principal of St. St. John de La Salle Academy of the Fine Arts in Chicago, and Principal Denise Spells of St. Ethelreda in Chicago. Thank you very much for being guest here on Catholic Schools Today. Stay with us. Time in Chicago is 9:39 on Relevant Radio 820 AM in Chicago. Stay with us after a break and do not touch that dial.
Get ready for Parish Leadership Day 2007. The date is Saturday, February 17th at Maria High School on Chicago's South Side. Call to Serve, Co-workers in the Vineyard will feature workshops, training tips, inspirational speakers, and even a question and answer luncheon with Cardinal George. Go to www.archchicago.org to learn more about this terrific event for everybody involved in leading our wonderful parishes. See you Saturday, February 17th for Parish Leadership Day.
You're invited to watch The Church, the Cardinal, and You this weekend on cable television. Here's host Graziano Marcheschi.
Catholic school students write about immigration's positive influence on our country. Worshippers praise the Mother of God at Our Lady of Guadalupe ceremonies. And a stately chapel in Mundelein is an architectural treasure chest of our Catholic faith.
For several interesting stories about the Archdiocese, please watch The Church, the Cardinal, and You this weekend on cable television. Go to www.archchicago.org and click on Radio TV for the time and cable channel in your area. That's www.archchicago.org. The Church, the Cardinal, and You, compelling television about your Archdiocese.
And welcome back to Catholic Schools Today. I'm Father Greg Sakowitz along with Dr. Nicholas Wilsonovich. Our phone number is 312-751-1979 on this special edition of Catholic Community of Faith on this Monday morning in Chicago. And by phone, we have with us for our last segment from Queen of Peace High School in Burbank is Dr. Kathleen Hanlon, the principal, and Irene Helko, the school's technology director. Good morning and welcome, Dr. Kathleen and Irene, to Catholic Schools Today.
Good morning. Good morning. Happy to be here.
Good morning. Now, we've got to figure out which is Kathleen and which is Irene, but we'll get into that.
Okay.
But something happening very special at Queen of Peace High School in Burbank. Now, next year we'll see each student outfitted with her own laptop in a new wireless school environment. Who would like to begin that topic?
Why don't you, Irene?
Okay, thank you. Well, we will be fitting every student with a laptop for next year, and that would be all four levels. And we basically have been working with identifying the goals and the strategies for this initiative back in the early part of the year 2000. At which point in time we were able to provide each teacher with their own laptop since about the summer of 2002. So our teachers are currently in their fifth year of using mobile technology and currently are using tablet technology. We've also been instrumental in the summer of 2004 to equip a student wireless laptop lab, which allows us to simulate the one-to-one initiative. And still to this day, it is being used by teachers and students probably about six periods out of the day. We continue to research and collaborate with many one-to-one schools in other states and have gained great working relationships with both their curriculum, professional development, and their technical people. So we feel that a lot of the goals and strategies that we've been working towards for many years has brought us to this point.
I think one of the most important. This is Nick Walsonovich, by the way, Kathleen and Irene.
Hello.
One of the things that I think is so terribly important here is getting the staff ready to do it. So maybe you could talk about what you did to prepare the staff so that they're ready to work with the kids.
Well, absolutely. As Irene indicated, the faculty and staff have been working with for the past 5 years to get them to integrate technology into their instruction. And, of course, it's used administratively throughout the school. So the ongoing in-service for that has been something that is essential. After our decision to move to the one-to-one in the fall, we've had a great deal of help from OCS, actually. Mark Viner has been out several times helping us provide sessions for our teachers to look at how technology can be integrated. And we're presently looking at a train-the-trainers program to construct a little cadre of faculty who can help their peers integrate the technology as we move throughout this next academic year. And we have a summer program planned out to have teachers trained in the software applications. I think the teacher preparation and training is probably the single most important thing that we're investing our resources in, so that we are truly integrating this up in every course throughout the curriculum starting in the fall.
I think another important component here is how you work with parents. Because certainly getting them ready for this, they need to support this. Certainly they're paying for it, so maybe you can touch on all those things.
Well, let's say first, we've had several sessions that were offered to our parents, introducing them to, say, Internet safety. And we've had parent evenings this past month where I've invited all parents to come and hear more about how we're integrating the technologies and to have them see the software and hardware and see some of the capabilities that we're offering students. We intend to offer a series of workshops in this next academic year for parents to learn the different applications that their daughters will have available to them one-to-one. And the beauty of the one-to-one program is that it not only gives students 24-hour access, it gives their parents access as well. And that is something that we're very keen on. And we hope as well with regular communications through our email system that parents will have their access to through their EdLine programs to move to almost all electronic communication. So a key link with all our families will be the fact that there's a computer at home that has the software that's needed for constant communication and interaction. Yes, the costs, I think, have been somewhat high for some families, and we're still searching for more resources and grants and asking our donors for support. So our biggest parental concern is cost. I think our parents, for the most part, understand the necessity of moving in this direction and the value of it for their daughters especially. So ongoing communication and education for our parents will be a part of this program as well. And I think trying to make sure that the technology is used well will also, I think, affirm the additional expenses that everything really is worth it.
I'd like to just emphasize that I really believe this is the way we're going to be teaching kids in the future. We have this is the third high school in our diocese that has gone this direction. The first is St. Joseph in Westchester. And then the second
each
is,
with their own laptop?
Yep. And Seton High School, this is their first year for this program. And we have sent folks around the country to see schools on the elementary level, too, that do this. And in the elementary level, we start at the higher grades, like 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th grade. But they will be so much better prepared when we do that at the elementary level to be able to step right in and do it at the high school level. And this is why it's so important for us to do it at the high school level, because this is what's happening at the university level.
Exactly.
So this is really a tremendous step forward and a real plus.
Let me ask this question, Nick. What you just said, and this is either for Kathleen or for Irene. Okay, I am computer challenged. My brother says I'm a computer moron, and in terms of his language with it. And what is the advantage of each student having his or her own laptop versus the computer room, which, you know, you may think about computers in a computer room. We've advanced to this level. So just from that perspective, what is the big advantage?
Let me add on to that question. As you talk about and respond to Father's question, explain the difference between an instructional strategy using technology like this versus not having it. And that sort of ties into what Father's saying. Real practical example.
Okay. You know, the advantages of every student having it is the total access. right now we have labs. Classes that want to integrate it have to sign up and perhaps stand in line for their, say, biology class to get a day in a computer lab. Now every day it's possible to link into the resources that are available to students in every class period by every teacher. So it's an access issue and application issue. Now that students have access, teachers will find it much more possible to integrate all of these things into their daily lessons, where before, maybe once a week, maybe once every 2 weeks, they had an opportunity to move students into a lab setting. So it's the access, and it's having every student have it. I think what a huge advantage here is the pacing. A student can visit sites and visit homework sites and look at tutorials and look at their e-text and so forth, but they can do that at their pace and their time, and as many opportunities that they want during the course of the day are available to them because it's right there in their hands, where, again, in a classroom, that's not the case. That's a huge advantage. The kinds of applications that students are able to get using Internet are things we can't offer them in the classroom.
And as a media, we're going to take a break here on Catholic Schools Today. I'm Father Greg Sackles, along with Dr. Nicholas Wilsonovich. And our guests are Dr. Kathleen Hanlon, principal of Queen of Peace High School in Burbank, and Irene Helko, the school's technology director. Stay with us. Do not touch that dial. We'll be back after a break.
From the moment you see the dramatic cover photo of an angel atop a church watching over the city of Chicago, you know you're about to enjoy a very special book. The Archdiocese of Chicago, A Journey of Faith, is a treasure chest of photographs, paintings, and historic perspective. Every church in the Archdiocese of Chicago is featured. The book provides readers with insight into our Catholic heritage, ministry, evolution, and challenges. A Journey of Faith makes a great gift with more than 340 pages of photos and history printed on gloss paper, hardcover, color throughout. It is available at many parishes, or you can call Liturgy Training Publications at 1-800-933-1800 or order online at ltp.org. So call 1-800-933-1800 or go to ltp.org. The Archdiocese of Chicago, A Journey of Faith. Display it proudly in your home.
The cemetery ministry is a core ministry of our Catholic faith tied to the corporal works of mercy. Cardinal George says, "It's comforting to know that our Catholic cemeteries are caring for the remains of our loved ones awaiting the resurrection." There are 43 Archdiocese of Chicago cemeteries willing to help you during times of loss. Call 708-449-6100 for assistance. Catholic Cemeteries, serving the Catholic community since 1837.
And welcome back to Catholic Schools Today. Time in Chicago is 9:51 in Chicago. And joining us live in the studio for the last segment is Mary Yannicelli, the Assistant Superintendent of Catholic High Schools for the Archdiocese of Chicago. And Nick, you are dying to ask Mary a question.
Well, I think it'd be interesting from Mary's perspective, since she is the person who works with a number of our high schools and was the principal of Seton when this was put together, from her perspective, where this is going in the high schools.
Based on what I am able to gather from speaking with principals, specifically who are the instructional leaders of our high schools, both in the archdiocesan-sponsored schools as well as the community-sponsored schools, the trend is going to be in the direction of laptop initiative learning, one-on-one learning. The advantages for that are tremendous with respect to students who are able to learn at their own pace, students who can access virtually the world in terms of research, and in addition to that, being able to take the laptop home and work from home is a tremendous advantage. So it's preparation for the 21st century skills that are necessary for our world today.
Now, Kathleen, how was the technology provided regarding the funding? Were the students paying their own laptop? Was this part of a fundraiser at school?
The original initiative and why we moved ahead on it was an anonymous alum provided $100,000 matching grant money that we were able to match, and that allowed us to move ahead. But we're still trying to raise an additional $200,000 to really offset the cost that we've incurred in making the entire building wireless and providing all of the projections and equipment that teachers need in every classroom to use the technology as well. So it's more the infrastructure costs that we were going after with our fundraising. To families, we're charging a leasing fee, and that would be paid on a monthly basis for the entire program. That involves the hardware, but also involves all of the software, apps, licenses, and so forth.
What's the cost of that lease per month for the parents?
We are pricing it at $650 annually. It's about $200 less than our actual cost.
And monthly, you must charge them monthly?
Yes, we do a 10-month basis, and it's $65 a month.
Right.
From what I'm aware of, with respect to the cost for this in the other schools that are thinking about laptop initiatives, the leasing is certainly the direction that most of the administrators are choosing to do. In addition to that, at Seton Academy, the lease cost, $65 per month, $650 a year, also included damage insurance and loss and theft insurance.
Yes.
So those were also rolled into that cost.
What's a neat thing about this, too, and I suspect you have this at the Queen of Peace, is that the students are trained to help fix these.
Yes.
And so we have that at St. Joseph and Seton, I think that's going.
Yes, that's correct.
And we have that at the school. So we have students helping to fix other students. And when they have a problem, they just lend out another computer for the time being.
So students are being taught to help fix another student's computer?
That's correct. A little scary, huh, Father Greg?
Wow.
They refer to that as a self-maintainer program.
That is incredible.
Yeah, and students have theory in the classroom, and then they have hands-on repair work with an A-plus certified technician.
And they get paid for this, don't they?
The girls fix my car?
Yes.
Do the students get paid for this?
We haven't gone that far. First, we're doing the training.
Okay.
And most of this training will occur during the academic day and the hands-on during the academic day. If students contribute hours into the evenings and or weekends or the summer, I think that certainly would be ways to generate some revenue for them.
Would it be okay if we sent Father Greg down for a little training?
Sure.
I have to do a sabbatical to get this done right. Before we close, Dr. Kathleen Hanlon, give us a phone number and a website for people to maybe contact to learn more about what's happening over at Queen of Peace High School.
Okay, very good. The Queen of Peace website is www.queenofpeacehs.
Once again.
www.queenofpeacehs.org.
And how about a phone number?
The number is 708-458-7600.
Again?
708-458-7600.
And Mary, a question before we close here. You said earlier, this is the wave into the future, not only at Queen of Peace High School and a couple others in the Archdiocese, but hopefully one by one in all the schools in the Archdiocese, high school and then grammar school, because this is what's happening at the university level.
That's correct. The expectations at the university level are much more demanding with respect to technology today. So even in the elementary schools, I know in our Archdiocese, there are some that are beginning to look at initiating laptop initiatives, but our high schools are moving in that direction because they know what's expected of their students for college.
And Kathleen, how is this whole initiative helping regarding recruitment?
Well, I'm not sure yet.
Okay.
We certainly feel that given our size and the fact that we're the single school in the region right now that is moving this across all four levels simultaneously, that parents will find that very attractive, as will students. So I think the next year's recruiting would be more evidence than what we're looking at right now.
When did you start this?
We just initiated the program, confirmed it in December, and we'll begin it in the fall.
Okay.
Mary.
I think the numbers bear out for St. Joe's in Westchester, who has this program, and they've had it for 3 years, and their recruitment certainly has been much more, I think, effective with respect to the growing numbers, because in the last 2 years they've seen their numbers growing, and Seton is the same.
We certainly live in a technological world, and I think parents want the very best education. Dr. Nick, you always say, be it grammar school or high school, we provide a faith-based education. We also have to be
up in terms of technology. We need to bring the program to a close. I want to thank in a very special way Dr. Kathleen Hanlon, principal of Queen of Peace High School in Burbank, and Irene Helko, the school's technology director. And special thanks for the 11th hour guest here on Catholic Schools Today, Mary Yannicelli, the assistant superintendent of Catholic High Schools in the Archdiocese of Chicago. And Nick, any closing thoughts for our listeners this morning?
Well, I think all three issues that we dealt with today, the Notre Dame High School has some really interesting, far-reaching hope for Catholic schools in the future, and their African-American heritage certainly is very important that we always want to emphasize. There's so much to learn there. And certainly this technology thing is just exciting, and we're looking forward to it continuing to develop.
With a great future, and also I want to thank in a very special way our producer, Ryan Blackburn, who did a magnificent job with today's program, and our engineer, Michael May. To all our listeners, God bless. Great week.
Thank you.
This is Cardinal Francis George. Thank you for being with us this past hour on Relevant Radio 820 AM. Join us every day, Monday through Friday, as the Archdiocese of Chicago presents the Catholic Community of Faith. Have a wonderful day, and God bless you.